Chapter 40. We worked for 3 hours before I started dropping things, tripping on nice flat ground, and bumping into other people because I'd forgotten to keep an eye out for them. "That's it, Harry," Georgia said firmly. "Your sleeping bag is in the cottage. Get some more sleep." "I'll be all right," I said. "Harry, if anything happens to you, we aren't going to have anyone we know looking out for us. You need to be able to focus. Go rest." It sounded awfully good, but my mouth opened on its own. "We've still got to lay out the—" Will had come up behind me in complete silence. He pulled my arm behind my back in a capable, strong grip and twisted carefully. It didn't hurt until he leaned gently into me, and I had to move forward to keep the pressure off. "You heard the lady," he said. "We can finish the rest of it on our own. We'll wake you up if anything happens." I snorted, twisted at the waist, bumping Will off balance with my hip, and broke the lock. Will could have broken my arm and kept hold of me, but instead he let go before it could happen. All right," I said. "Going." I shambled into the cottage and collapsed onto a sleeping bag that lay on top of a foam camp pad. 4 hours later, when Will shook me awake, I was lying in the exact same position. Late afternoon light slanted into the half-ruined cottage from the west. Morgan lay on his own pallet, made by stripping the foam mattress from the bunk on the water beetle. His eyes were closed, his breathing steady. Will must have carried him up from the boat. "Okay," I slurred. "I'm up. I'm up."
"Georgia has been patrolling the shoreline," he said. "She says there's a boat approaching."
My heart began beating a little faster and my stomach fluttered. I swallowed, closed my eyes for a moment, and imagined a tranquil tropical beach in an effort to calm my thoughts. But the beach kept getting overrun by shape-shifting zombie vampires with mouths on the palms of their hands. "Well, that's useless," I said in sleepy disgust. I got to my feet and gathered my things.
"Where's it coming from?"
"West."
"He'll have to sail a third of the way around the island, then, to get through the reefs."
I yawned.
"Where's Georgia?"
Claws scraped on hard-packed earth, and a large, tawny wolf appeared in the doorway. She sat down and looked at me, her ears perked forward.
"Good work," I told her. "Molly?"
"Here, Harry,"
she called as she hurried into the cottage. She held a crystal of white quartz, about 2 inches thick and a foot long, in her hands.
"Get to work, Grasshopper. Don't hesitate to use the crystal if things get dicey, and good luck to you."
She nodded seriously and went to Morgan's side. She reached out and took his limp hand, frowned in mild concentration, and they both vanished behind one of her wonder veils.
"God be with you, Harry,"
she said, her voice coming out of nowhere.
"Will," I said, "get your game face on."
I turned to Will to find the young man gone, and a burly, dark-furred wolf sitting in his place next to a pile of loose clothes.
"Oh," I said, "good."
I checked my gear, my pockets, my shoelaces, and realized that I had crossed the line between making sure I was ready and trying to postpone the inevitable. I straightened my back, nodded once, and began to stride toward the cottage door.
"Let's go, people. Party time."